following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
One of the most powerful templates for prayer, and we've looked at a couple, we've got at least one more, maybe two more to look at, as far as just real simple guides to prayer and samples of how to approach God in prayer. But one of the most powerful templates for prayer is simply to pray the Word of God. And how many of you think it's probably the best literature in the world? Anybody agree with me? It's the best. And so if prayer is language that's directed to God, the best is in the book. The best of it is really right there in the Word of God. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight in the School of Prayer here, is praying the promises of God. But first, I want to do a little bit of review with you. What is the Bible? What is this book? Instruction guide. And how many books are in the book? Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Some of you that have heard me talk about this before, if you know your way through the book of Psalms, how many books make up the book of Psalms? There's five in there. So that adds four more to your tally, which brings you up to 70, although those five are, you know, gathered together under one. And in the very last book, which I think begins in Psalm 107 and goes through to the end, there's another book in there. So you've got how many then? 71 books in your Bible. Now, some of you are thinking, babe, we got to go find another church because he just told me there's more than 66. Well, you know, in all of that collection, here's what's in common with all of it. It's God's word to you. Doesn't matter really how you divide it up, but there's all of that language, all of those words, all of those different kind of books in Scripture compile or come together in that compilation of what we call God's holy word. What's it say on the back of your Bible? Well, it says nothing on mine because I recovered it, but it should say what? Holy Bible. It's not like any other book that you will ever read. But more important than the numbers of the books in the book, in the one book, what's more important is what they say. What is the message of all those books? How many of you remember the 66-second survey that I gave you of the Scripture? Does anybody remember that? Can anybody stand and quote it? There's no way in the world you could. So I want you to see it. It's going to take me more than 66 seconds to read it, because the 66 seconds is if I read it like those disclaimers at the end of the radio ads where there's no way you can understand what they're saying. But here's the 66-second survey of Scripture, the Bible. 66 books by at least 42 authors written over 1,500 years with one message, the story of our rescue, our redemption. That story goes like this. God created a perfect world, then we messed it up by breaking the one prohibition that he gave us. Then immediately God promised to fix what we messed up by sending a Savior who would be killed in the process of saving us. The rest of the Old Testament scriptures, through law, poetry, history, prophecies, record the preparation of that, or preparation for that Savior, Jesus, including the creation of a nation, Israel, through whom God would keep all of those promises. In the New Testament, this Savior, Jesus, arrives and does rescue us through one act of amazing sacrifice, his death on a cross, followed by his resurrection. That story is told in four biographies of Jesus known as the Gospels. The book of Acts, which follows the Gospels, tells us what those first followers of Jesus did to share his story with the rest of the world. Next, we find 21 letters explaining what just happened and how we're saved by turning from our sins and trusting Jesus Christ alone. Finally, we have one amazing prophecy, the book of Revelation, telling us what will become of this world and how God will again one day start all over with new heavens, a new earth, and all of those who trusted him and love him with all their hearts. Now, can somebody stand up and recite that? I know you got it as I went through it. But that's basically the story of Scripture. It's that one cohesive message all the way through. Now, there's another way to look at the flow of what we find in Scripture, in this message of redemption. And I want to give this to you before we focus for most of our time tonight on praying the promises. I want you to see how all of the Scripture really is. I don't like the word fodder, because that kind of has a low feeling to it, but it's material for prayer, as you understand what all of those passages are there for. So we're going to look at this, the Bible ingredients. How many of you read labels? How many of you know it's important to read labels these days? One of our little granddaughters is extremely sensitive to what? Gluten. But she found out recently that even though she is absolutely gluten-free, she's also extremely sensitive to sorbitol. And I think is she nine? Is she eight? I think she might be 8 years old. And so I took them. This is the only time I've ever done this in all these years of pastoral ministry. 38 years. I know I gauge it by when my son was born, and he was born 38 years ago yesterday, Jeremy. But in 38 years of ministry, I have never, while the service was going on in the church that I pastored, taken my grandkids across the street to get them a drink during the second service this last Sunday, but I did that. And it was just one of those, you know, papa times while Jeff was in here preaching. So I took them across the street and I got them something to drink, and they said, can we have a snack as well? And so we found a snack for Taylor, which was a little bit hard because one caffeine store didn't have it, but the other one did. She knew what she could have. And so she was all blue when we walked in. They didn't have the Rice Krispie treats. And so they said, oh, we got more in the back, and the smile came back and the joy returned. And then we got over to, and then I bought this little, also another little package of pretzels that said gluten-free. And so she helped me eat those as well. Then she said, I got a tummy ache. And I thought, oh, no. It's not. I said, honey, you can't. It was a gluten-free this, and it was a gluten-free that. And she said, is there sorbitol in it? She knows everything that she's not supposed to have. And we looked, and there was no sorbitol in it. It's important to read the labels to discover what the ingredients are. Here's the Bible ingredients. Here's what you're going to find as you look through Scripture. You're going to find narratives. Narratives are stories. It's biography. It's history. They're examples and they're lessons for all of us. Examples of people just like us. Lessons you can learn from their lives as you read the story of somebody like Joseph and somebody like David. How many of you know you can learn two different things by looking at anybody's life? What do you learn? What to do and what not to do. Sometimes the more profound lesson, especially in Bible characters, is what not to do, as you look at the consequences from what they did. So you learn lessons by the examples you see in people's lives. The second one is law. And law is just its commands and its instructions from God. And you find instructions both in the Old and the New Testament, but they're life instructions. They're clear parameters or warnings. And sometimes the warnings come with what? If you do this, here's the what? The consequences or the penalty for it. And so many, many times those instructions and those laws come with the clear parameters and the warnings that come along with the penalties. Now, some of that law is very, very ceremonial. It's about how the Jews were supposed to approach God when you get into the Old Testament. But mostly they're instructions on two very, very important things that Jesus said all the law comes down to this. What are they? How to love God, how to love people. How to establish a loving relationship with God, how to establish loving, fruitful relationships with one another. And extremely important in all of those. The next one, we don't have time to stay on all these, is the poetry and the song and Scripture. And those are there to be sung. They're tools to teach us and to help us remember the truth of God that we learn. Tools that take you deeper. I love those genius poets in Scripture. David was one of the best. Asaph was amazing as well. A guy by the name of, I think it was Heman. Heman. He was powerful in a couple of his songs where he talks about the kind of days you go through when June gloom has escaped June and it meets you in August. How many of you have been there? All gloom is not confined to just a 1 month out of the year. I tell you, there's been a couple of days in August that I've walked through fog. I've walked through gloom, you know, and God has been with me in the gloom. And I'm very comforted by songs like that, like Heman wrote, that encourage me that even in the times of gloom, I can look to God. But they're examples of prayer. They're examples of praise and how you can articulate your love for God and your need of God. The next one is prophecy, and prophecy is future history. It's the good news and it's the bad news. There's prophecy that things are going to turn out okay. I've been reading through Jeremiah. Jeremiah's been thrown into a prison, and when he's in prison, realizing that I could very likely die here, God says to him, buy a piece of property. And for a man in prison to buy a piece of property, there's hope there. This is not going to end here for you. I want you to buy a piece of property. And we're going to see another promise that God gave him when he was down in that prison. He told him to call to me, cry unto me, and I'll answer you, and I'll show you things that you would not believe. But it's future history about things to come. And then there's the promises. And promises are God's vows, I guess you could say his guarantees, that are based on his proven character and his record. All God has to do is say it for it to be true. But his record proves his faithfulness. Amen? How many of you would say, yes, yes, God has been faithful to me? By the way, how many of you have already picked a promise that you're going to read? All right, I got 1, 2, 3. I see about 7 or 8. That's going to be good. If there's more, you're going to be allowed to join that as well. But I want to talk about how this works, about how you pray through the narratives. And so I want to take this one by one. This is going to be quick. In praying through the narratives, it starts like this. In Romans chapter 15, 4, here's why these stories are there. Read this with me, if you would. Verse 4 of chapter 15. Such things, it's talking about the stories you read in Scripture. Such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us. And the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Those stories aren't just stories. They're cause for you to trust because God is not a respecter of persons. Another verse says the same thing. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Let's read this. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live. How many of you are believing? I think we're pretty close to the end. I am more convinced than I have ever been that we're living right here at the very, very end of the age, end of this age until right before Jesus lifts out his church, deals with a rebellious world, comes back, 1,000 years of how it could have been if we had surrendered to God, and then we start all over again. New heaven, new earth, new you as well. So, the next one is praying through the law and the instructions. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. Obviously, I have abbreviated this. Jesus has spoken for 3 chapters, and it's all red letters. All the way through, it's red letters, Jesus talking. And it doesn't take long, 15, 20 minutes to read that, if that's the full content of his message or his sermon on the Mount. But in that, he says this, wise people, the wise person will hear these sayings of mine, and they'll do them. The foolish person hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them. They do nothing about it. They might have even walked away, patted a friend on the back, said, great preacher, huh? But they did nothing with it. I wonder if there's anybody in here that sat in a church service or through a radio program or read a book or a tract that was handed to you by somebody you thought, oh, there's another kooky Christian, but you flipped through the little cartoon anyway, and you heard the gospel, and you didn't even do that much about it. You're accountable for the truth that you've heard. The wise person takes the gospel, even if they think it was a kooky Christian that gave it to them. They respond to the gospel, and they're saved. Jesus said, if you listen to my words, you're wise. If you don't listen to them, you're foolish. And so the way that you respond to the law and the instructions is you heed what God has said. The way that you respond to the poetry is you sing it if you can. Or look at it like poetry and think about it. Meditate upon it. Read it over and over again. How many of you have a favorite song that even, let's say, in the last couple of months, you've played it more than once in a row? You say, oh, I got to hear it again. You hit back up. And how many did it like 6, 7 times? Because I want to learn the lyrics and I want to get it deep in me. That's what you do with the poetry of Scripture too. You read with all of Scripture, obviously, but sing it, acknowledging the example, the truth, the promise, the warning, the comfort that might be in there. And you'll grow if you do that. The next, also in praying through the poetry, here's an example. I love this. Psalm 96, 1. Let's read this together. Sing to the Lord a new song. And sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, and proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. You can sing it. Put it in music form and sing it out to God. The next one is praying through the prophecies, praying through the prophecies. You heed the warnings and you prepare. But there's one powerful passage in the book of Revelation toward the beginning that just really epitomizes this, how you respond to prophecy. And it's like this. You've read this before, Revelation 3:20. Behold, let's read together. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice, and opens the door, I will come into him, dine with him, and he with me. You heed the warnings of Scripture, and you get right with a God who's knocking on the door of your heart. Again, some of you tonight, he may be knocking hard. He might have been knocking for a long time. He won't knock forever. There's a limit where he says, as we've studied in Romans chapter 1, he says, if that's what you want, then that's what you get. And he turns you over to what you demand. I saw a quote from C.S. Lewis this week that was something to the effect that God doesn't send anybody to hell. Everyone goes there by choice because God says, if that's what you want, that's what you get. If you don't want me, I won't force myself upon you. And then last, praying through the promises, you claiming what is yours as a child of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God the Father. Okay, I understand that there are some passages in Scripture, some promises in Scripture that were specifically related to this person or that nation of Israel. But I think even if you look at the content of those promises, you're going to see something that is typical of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will, and what are the words that follow that?
Humble themselves,
pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear, and what? I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land. Do you think that same promise might be true for you? That God would say of you, if you hear my voice, if you confess your sins, turn from your wicked ways, and trust me, and obey me, I'll hear. I'll hear that prayer, I'll see that repentance, and I'll save you. It's just God being God, whether it's to a nation or to an individual. So many of the promises that we say, no, then that's for Israel. Well, yes, that specific wording there was for Israel. But the same God who promises to respond to our repentance and our simple faith in his grace, he said, I will save you if you call upon my name. That's just what God is like. So you claim and you hold fast to what he's promised. Another one, Hebrews chapter 6. And this is after all, you really need to go back later on tonight and read the whole chapter, because it's talking about people that are responding to him. And at the end of this, he says, now don't be sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Great phrase there at the end. What do you mean inherit the promises? Hold on. Don't be sluggish in trusting God. Don't hold back and say, oh, maybe someday, somehow, I'll get around to that. Don't be sluggish in standing up and hanging on to the promise of God, walking in obedience to him, because he says, if you do, it's a people who imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. You follow their example, and you inherit the promise of God that makes you stronger, helps you climb higher, and walk further and become more and more like Jesus Christ. But through the promises, I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 1 with me. A couple of verses or a couple of passages I want us to look at, and then we're going to get to your promises. And I want to show you the video that I promised you last week. You're going to love this. How many of you remember Ben Corson? Yeah, you're going to love this Ben Corson video. I think it's the best one he put together. I told him so. Keep it up, Benny boy, as his daddy would say. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1, Simon Peter, who says he's a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious. He loves this word precious. It means valuable. You that have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How many of you want bucket loads of peace and bucket loads of grace? He said, it'll be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which, now listen carefully, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. There's not a period at the end of that word. There's a comma. He's given, what do we do with what he's given? He's given us great promises, great, and there's the word again, precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. God has promised, and I cling to what he's promised. Now, the word promise is another word that shows up over and over and over again in Peter's writings, and especially in 2 Peter. Flip over to chapter 3, and I'm going to read quickly from verse 1 down to verse 13. I might skip around just a little bit, but he says to begin with, "Beloved, I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles and of the Lord our Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days." Have they arrived? Yeah, in busloads they've arrived. "Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is this God who's he makes promises, but he doesn't keep his promises? Jesus who promised to come, he hasn't come. Where is he? Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that when then existed perished, being flooded with water." I love the way that Peter says this. A promise is something that is spoken. He said, I want to remind you that God, by his word, created. When God speaks, it's going to be accomplished. And this same God who spoke worlds into existence has made precious promises to us. And he says in verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Again, based on the promises of God. "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day." And then he gets to it. You're going to love this. Verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." What's that mean? God is not what? He's not forgotten. He's not unfaithful. "God is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. Here's why Christ hasn't come. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come," he says, "he will come. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Here's where it gets so good for us tonight. "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise." By the way, this is the good part. That was the bad part. The melting with a fervent heat. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness." Let me tell you something. I'm not going to quit waiting for heaven. I'm not going to quit looking forward to heaven. If you think this is as good as it gets, I am sorry for you. But I know that when I'm done here, I wake up in a place that's way better than Huntington Beach. I wake up in a place that he has prepared for me, and the description that I get in the scriptures of that place that he has prepared for me, it's off the charts. It's so incredibly beautiful. I don't know what the Garden of Eden looked like, but I know from just the snapshots I get of heaven, that is nothing to be feared. You might not like the exit on the way there. It might not be enjoyable, but let me tell you, when you open up your eyes on the other side, I want to hear the promises that you cling to. I want to hear the promises that give you strength to stand and to keep moving forward and to not give up. I want to hear from you the promises that help you get back on your feet, that help you stay right on course, still trusting in Jesus Christ and refusing to let go and refusing to turn back to the junk. But before we hear yours, I want you to see this very, it's not too long. How many minutes is it, Pasha? About 4 minutes. Let me just tell you, you're going to love this video from our brother Ben. So if we could roll that, turn down the lights, and get ready. This is going to be good. If you can't see through this, it'll be up here on this screen.
What do? When you doubt the goodness of God, you meditate on the promises of God. Promises like what the enemy means for evil, the Lord means for good. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I would have despaired, but I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. For those who wait on the Lord, they'll renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. For the Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire in my name, and it will be done for you. His banner over me was love. Turn to the strongholds, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will restore double unto you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For if God did not spare his only son, will he not also with him freely give us all things? We take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the shield of faith, which can quench every fiery dart of the wicked one, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes and the preparation of the gospel of peace. Fight a good fight, wage a good warfare, because neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. We have not received the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And his spirit testifies with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together. For we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God which is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. So stand fast in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. For whether I'm hungry or full, suffering or abounding, I have learned to be content. For I can do all things through him who strengthens me. My God shall supply all your needs according to the riches of glory by Christ Jesus, who the Bible says is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, Emmanuel, Messiah, the Prince of peace, the Son of God, the bread of life, the light of the world, the way, the truth, the life, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the door for his sheep, the shepherd who lays down his life for his lambs, the vine who gives fruit to his branches, the word of God made flesh, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the resurrection, and the life, the Prince of the kings of the earth, the Amen, the root of David, the man-child, the beginning of God's creation, he who holds the double-edged sword, he who wields the bright and morning star, the captain of our salvation, the image of the invisible God, and the anchor of hope. I'm just saying. So think like a proton and be positive of the goodness of God.
Come on. I'm just saying. I love that part. I'm just saying. I counted 65 promises in there when I listened to it two or three times. You can find that online, Hope Generation positives. And you can watch that over and over and over again. I know what you're thinking. Teleprompter. There was no teleprompter there. He just has those tucked away in his heart. Do you think that's a good idea? To put the Word of God in your heart so you don't forget it. Commit it to memory. Jesus, as he stands before the devil, and the devil is trying to bring him down, and he's casting doubts into his heart. He's attacking his identity, if you're really the Son of God, and he invites him to do something stupid, and Jesus reaches down to what was stored away in his heart. He didn't pull out a scroll and say, hang on a second, let me find that promise. He just shouted it right back to the enemy, and he stood because of that. I want to hear from you. Those of you that have a promise, you got to come right up here, line up. As soon as you read your promise, read it or quote it, you can go sit down, but come on right up here and fall in place right behind Rich. And I want to hear, and just a promise, no comment, no preaching. I did the preaching tonight. That's all we need. But just the promise itself, I want to hear. We got some men, we got some women. All right, I know there's more than that. You don't have to have it memorized. You can just come up and read it. That's fine. The other day, a couple of days ago, Joy and I went out for in our kayaks. And we're out there in Huntington Harbor, and you know we're kayaking around. And I said, hey. And I gave her a promise. I said, she said, oh, cool. I said, your turn. You give me a promise. And so we went back and forth until we got right back to the place where we docked. And we ran out of time before we ran out of promises. What a great idea, huh? Between friends and spouses, just get the Word of God, the promises of God into your heart and begin to share them with one another and pray those promises. So that as you pray through Scripture, when you come to a commandment that grabs your heart, say, Lord, help me to obey that. When you come to a narrative that's an example, oh, Father, please help me not to do what he did or she did. Help me to do what Joseph did in maintaining just a faithful life. And you pray through all of those and grab onto those promises of God that will hold you and sustain you. So, Rich, what's your promise from God? Where's it found?
Matthew 28:20b.
All right.
I am with you always, even into the end of the age.
Amen. Amen. Right on. Right on. Let's hear an amen on these promises, okay? All right. Noah.
All right. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him.
Amen. So when you hit that place you need wisdom, you ask God who promised he'd give you. Come on, Dave.
Isaiah 30, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength.
Oh, man, settle down in the strength of God. Amen. Come on up. Yes, Val?
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with Amen. All your heart. Lean not unto your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths.
Amen. Let's hear an amen like you believe it. Amen. Amen. Come on up. Come on. Come on. Keep them coming. Yep.
Okay. Second Timothy 3:16. I got it. Second Timothy.
I do that too.
Second Timothy 3:16. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Amen. Amen. Well done. Amen. 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 Come on.
Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work out for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
Amen. Even what you're in the middle of right now. Yeah, come on.
Psalm 46:1.
Okay.
God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear.
Oh, I love the word refuge. Amen. Amen. Come on up. Yeah.
Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of the Holy Spirit who loves me and gave himself for me.
Amen. Right on. Chris Langham should be in line up here too. He's a Bible man. Come on, Chris. You got to have one up here. I can let you go.
Somebody took mine, but I got another
one. Oh, they already took yours? How dare they do that?
Jeremiah 31:2-31:4. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Oh, no, sorry. It was 32:42. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity on these people, so I will bring on them all the good.
Oh, amen. Amen. Through the calamity to the good. Yeah. I better stay with you. Okay.
Psalm 91, 1 and 2. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in his presence. I will say to the Holy One, you are my refuge. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow.
Amen. Right on. Amen. Come on, let's hear some strong amens. Come on up closer.
1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen. Amen, Bob. Yeah, right on. Chris. Hey, Chris.
Psalm 27:13. And Ben Corson stole it, but of course. In case you missed it.
He got almost all of them, didn't he?
I would have given up hope if I wasn't sure that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Amen. Amen. All right, Joel. Oh, you got time for a couple more. Come on.
John 4:14 and other places, he promises everlasting life.
Amen. Right on. The best promise of all. Yeah.
1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Right on. Right on. Amen. Amen. Hey, double dipping here, Noah. Go ahead.
Sorry. Okay, it's Revelations 21, starting verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Yeah. Amen. That one is so precious to me. The ones that the promises that tell us what you won't find in heaven. It's interesting when I read the one about no tears in heaven, it makes me choke up, and it won't do that in heaven. Yeah.
Exodus 15:13. In your mercy have led forth the people who you have redeemed. Mm. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation.
Amen. Amen. All right, here we go.
All right. Hello, I have Isaiah 61:1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound.
Amen. Amen. And after Jesus said that, that's all he did the rest of the time he was here.
I got one more.
Okay, anybody else? We got time for one more.
Guys?
Come on. You're up.
1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for all sins and cleanse us from all. And what does all mean? All means all. That's all it means.
Right on.
Cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. You stole mine. That's okay. I'm glad you did. It'll be review when we read through them.
So it's a very personal promise from Leviticus 13:40. A man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean.
Yes, we've got a song about that too. Amen. Oh, okay. Look up here. Read these with me. Okay, let's all stand together. And Shannon and Megan, come on back out and prepare to close us in worship. You got to read these with a strong voice, okay? And at the end of every one, I want you to hear you say, I'm just saying. Okay, no, you don't have to do that. Here we go. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. James 4:7-8. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We need some background music. Come on in, ladies. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Deuteronomy 31:6, this is over and over and over in the Old Testament and New. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And John 10, 27 through 29, read with me. Don't slow down yet. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of his hand. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And John 3:16. Okay, ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Say it with me. Amen. 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 Father God, thank you for great, precious promises by which we will become partakers of the divine image of your, we'll become like you, Father, if we take these promises to heart. So, Father, I pray that you would teach us to pray your word, the stories that we read, the law that we read, the instructions, Father. Forgive us for skipping over any part of your scripture, the songs that we read, Lord, the prophecies that remind us of what's coming and the promises we can build our lives upon, Father God. Thank you for speaking to us in your word. Help us, Father, please help us to take those words to heart and to live them and to stand upon them, fight from them and run with them and recover when we've fallen, Lord, to confess our sins and receive the forgiveness of our sins, Lord God. We thank you for your grace tonight. We thank you for your word in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So be it. Let's worship him. Let's lift our voices. Praise him now with all that you have. Tonight, before we leave, if you know that you have gone far enough in your life without Christ as your Lord, your forgiver, the leader of your life, the Lord of your life, it's time to leave the sin behind. It's time to leave the judgment that we all deserve behind. And you can leave here. You can leave here tonight with your sins lifted off your soul. You can leave here tonight clean. You can leave here tonight right with God if you would simply confess your sin to him and let him forgive you. Confess your faith in his grace and say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, accept me, receive me as I receive you into my heart as Lord and Savior. If you want help doing that tonight, either the believer that you came with would help you do it right now. I guarantee they'll help you. And if you didn't come with a believer, I would love to pray with you or one of the other pastors, and we would love to pray with you and help you take that first step in a new life that lasts how long? Forever. No one can snatch you out of his hands. Eternal life is eternal life. You trust him tonight. So grace and peace upon you as you walk in the promises of God, as you pray the promises of God, as you strengthen yourself in your faith by taking God at his word. Let him strengthen you and make you all he wants you to be. Amen. God bless you. If anybody needs prayer, come on forward tonight. We'd be happy to pray with you. Bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.